Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here. True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com. Great website for conservative voices. We need those more than ever these days.
Yeah.
And also Denver's Dr. Julie McKenna, Denver Cenogenics, as we say, keeping Chuck alive. Well, we had a show kind of all planned today, and then the whole Bill Cosby thing broke. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about that. And want to, off the top, say, call in 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Or if you're joining us on Zoom, which we love to have people do, go ahead and just unmute yourself or raise your hand, because I'm going to, you know, want to get your thoughts on this too. So if you haven't heard, Bill Cosby, who back in 2018 was sentenced essentially to 3 to 10 years in prison for sexual assault, had served 2 of the years,
almost three,
was released today. Actually, he's home at his mansion in Philadelphia. I believe it's in Philadelphia. Yes. As we speak, after flashing the peace sign to people, a judge said, and I'll let Chuck get into the legal stuff. Basically, what the judge said that in
Court of Appeals, Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Right. The Supreme Court in Pennsylvania ruled that evidence used in the sex assault trial came from testimony, depositions that Cosby gave in a 2005 civil lawsuit after, and the reason he testified in that as opposed to taking the fifth was because the prosecutor at that time said, you know what, I won't prosecute you. I think that there is a better avenue for justice to the civil court case, not the criminal, so I won't prosecute you.
And she collected $3.5 million.
Yeah, exactly. And then fast forward into the new woke generation where decisions are made not on whether they're right or wrong or just, or even the rules, silly little rules. It all depends on if it's woke and if it has anti-white wokeness category, anything goes. Well, the judges said, no, anything does not go. You told Mr. Cosby you wouldn't prosecute him. You did. And on top of that, you brought in evidence from witnesses whose testimony wouldn't have been allowed because of the statute of limitations.
They actually didn't say that. What they said is we don't have to consider that issue. Because we're finding the conviction moot anyway. And what they did is they brought in claims of similar crimes that he did to other people. The trouble with that one is once you start trying people for other convictions, you don't really get to defend anything. And it's a way prosecutors can convict you just on the basis, well, you know, it happened so many times. Of course, you don't get to defend all those times, and it was a separate trial. And the same sleazy technique was allowed in the Harvey Weinstein case, where they brought all these women in and said, oh yeah, that's right, happened to me too. That's almost a sure conviction, is why courts don't allow you to do it.
Right.
But you know, whether these trial judges just cannot
It was a prosecutor and a judge who were so, you know, overwhelmed by their own wokeness that they decided the rules didn't apply. And as a result, now we have really what is a tragedy for a lot of people. And I want to back up because I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. The main bad guy, I think, in this is the prosecutor and the judge. But back when I was working at Fox 31 News, and then when we had the show on KNUS, we talked to some of the women, one of the women in particular, Beth Ferrier, who was a model back in the day for JF Images, Joe mm-hmm. Farrell Images. And she described, her description was, now we're talking decades ago, her description was essentially the same as all of the women. Joe Farrell sent her to the Proof of the Pudding nightclub to meet Bill Cosby. He came to Denver, used to come to Denver and other cities a lot to do stand-up comedy routines. And it was kind of a well-known secret, actually, that wasn't a secret, that Bill Cosby would have some of these modeling agencies send young women there. And so Beth went thinking, holy cow, this could be a big break for me. I'm going to meet, you know, Bill Cosby, America's dad, right? The comedian. And the next next thing she knows is she, you know, woke up in a car in the parking lot in the middle of the night at the proof of the pudding with her clothes disheveled, and was basically told that if she said anything, this is by the people in the industry, she'd probably never work again. No one would believe her. And so, like many women, she says she kept her mouth shut for decades. In 2004, Andrea Constant came forward and filed the lawsuit. And that's actually when literally 60 other women in total, I think, came forward, all describing the same thing. In the civil lawsuit testimony, Bill Cosby admitted that he would give the women Quaaludes before having sex with them. But he insisted then and all along that it was consensual. Now, I can understand, and this is where maybe some people disagree with me, and Chuck, you might, but I can understand a young woman, particularly back in the 70s and 80s, you know, thinks she doesn't remember what happened. She just knows she wakes up disheveled and has no idea what's happened. And everyone tells her to shut her mouth, and saying, who's going to believe you? You know, you're going to go to war against Bill Cosby. You want to destroy your career and never work again before your career's even started.
Also, the women were white and Bill Cosby's black. So they accuse him of making false allegations.
A lot of issues surrounding that. And I'll just say this. I can easily understand why back then in particular, a woman might have said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, so you don't do anything. And I can understand that a statute of limitations comes and goes. And I can see both sides of that. You can't have this never ending.
Oh, they do now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's not particularly fair either.
Of course, it's not fair because there's no chance to defend yourself 20, 30, 40 years later.
Right.
And so it's just an endless misjudge of care of
yeah. So the question is, and, you know, I want to get what you guys think. Was this justice served or justice denied? In my opinion, it's a little bit of both. I think that, we can talk about this a little bit later. The main bad guy to me in all of this is the prosecutor and the judge who allow this to go forward. Anyway, again, in their wokeness, originally the DA said, I don't think I can prove this. So no, I won't prosecute you. If you're Bill Cosby, I guess note to self, never believe a prosecutor. Yeah. I mean, if you're an attorney out there, but by the same token, if you're these women, what kind of message does this send, or what kind of message do you take home? You go through this. I know their lives have been hell. Some of these women, I mean, Beth has talked about that. And coming forward, it certainly hasn't been easy. He finally goes to jail and all of a sudden now he's released and he's home. I mean, that doesn't quite seem right either. And yet, to me, if you're Bill Cosby, you're like, hey, I had a deal with the prosecutor. And he has maintained his innocence all the way through.
Well, he refused to be giving sex counseling.
Which is
a whole other issue. So he was never going to be eligible for parole.
Right, right. We got some comments here. Sanders says he spiked her drink and supposedly did that many times. Thought there was no statute of limitations in criminal law. No.
I think
there isn't. For first degree murder, there may not be. But for most crimes, there is a statute of limitations. And surprisingly, it's really not very long.
Well, in their case, 12 years.
And in this case, I mean, again, I can see where, boy, the times were different in the 70s and 80s. And again, I don't know what I would have done if I'd been a young woman, if I'd been Beth Ferrier and some of these other women, right?
Well, the woman that he did get, she did sue him. She did collect $3.5 million and then came back and they did criminal, you know.
The district attorney, it was a bait and switch, right? Says, you know, so Cosby made, shocking, I don't know why his lawyer let him talk, but really some pretty incriminating statement. Yeah, never talk. So I want to play a few sound bites. Fox News had a good attorney on, but well, again, the media, of course, you know, they're all wringing their hands. You aren't going to hear very many shows like ours where we're willing to say, you know what, it's complicated. And at least for me, it's like, I don't know, justice denied, justice served, a little bit of both. Nope, everyone is exploding their heads in wokeness right now.
I don't believe in a criminal justice system other than how they feel.
Which is
never very good. Good for a lot of people, including black men in the South back in the 20s and 30s, and because everybody felt we'll do justice, and they did what they thought was justice, and that's not much justice, and these weren't much justice.
And they're like, oh my God, this is shocking, but I'm going to give her credit. Of course, she's probably being destroyed on Twitter right now, so she'll have to probably get canceled, but attorney Jonna Spillerberg was on Fox, and they said to her, you know, they're expressing their shock and dismay and horror, and if we could play soundbite number one, I just really like her response to this. Number one, please, Thomas.
from listening to prior guests comment on this story, John, I think I must be the only person who's not surprised one little bit about this conviction being overturned. I recall in the second trial, I knew that the prior bad acts evidence by trotting in several other victims was going to be legally problematic down the road for the prosecution. It was a violation of due process, and it led to his ultimate conviction and now his ultimate overturning of that conviction. Not surprised by this.
Yeah, so she's probably having to take that back now. They're saying, you're
as a practical, that's not why this.
Well, where she was getting, let me clarify a little bit what she's getting at there, and I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. Remember, there was a first trial, and they couldn't get to it, and it was, and then they didn't bring that evidence in the first trial. Right. So they decided, okay, we need to make this a slam dunk, so they brought it in.
Right.
And you're right, they said they did not get to that. They said,
and they used the same thing against Harvey Weinstein. So right. That'll be interesting when that goes up to whatever court it goes up to.
Well, she kind of comments on that whole issue, too. So if we could play Attorney Bite number two, please, Thomas. Good point, Chuck.
Thank you.
Well, and you're exactly right. But what they got in jail was an infirmed 80-year-old man who, you got to remember that the additional prior bad act witnesses that they brought in the second trial, these were witnesses with information that was so old, they couldn't be he couldn't be prosecuted for it. They were solely there to pile on against Bill Cosby for the one victim that was actually part of the criminal case, Andrea Constant. So, I mean, it served a purpose for the prosecution, and you knew immediately that that was going to be a bone of contention on appeal, and in his case, ultimately successful.
And then, and here's what I want to talk about and get your thoughts too, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, or if you're on Zoom and you just want to unmute yourself, you can do that too. So, you know, the Fox reporter in his wokeness, to me at any rate, says, well, I don't know, but was this justice? I mean, we on TV have decided that Bill Cosby was guilty. I mean, the Twitter world clearly says Bill Cosby is guilty. Why on earth are we letting judges and rules of law come into play? And he says, is this justice? And if we could play bite number three, because I think she makes a really important point here.
And another great analogy, right? So I think what trumps it all is the issue of due process. Imagine, if you will, take Bill Cosby out of this equation for a second. Just be somebody who claims their innocence, which Bill Cosby did. He might have given statements in a civil case that people are calling, you know, incriminating. But his defense was really, this was all consensual. So imagine, if you will, just being a person who's accused of a crime you claim you didn't commit, and maybe you didn't, and then having to go through trial, sit in prison until you're ultimately released because of a due process violation. You are grateful for that. That is the basis of our Constitution. So thankfully we have that. And if that means that somebody gets out of prison because some people think he's guilty and some people think he doesn't, well, so be it. That is America.
Well, theoretically, that is America. I mean, I think she makes the point there. That's why, and it's hard. And I think so often this day and age, Chuck, we just want little microwave bullet points, and then we can put that issue out of our heads and we all go away. But Cosby, bad, 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 guilty, 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 don't want to deal with it again. And, you know, we've seen, I think, in this Trump era, the way that the Department of Justice treats different people. You know, you saw today, Trump is now the chief financial officer is going to be investigated and charged apparently by the prosecutor in New York, because they didn't file, but they didn't claim taxes on some fringe benefits, right? Now, is anybody else being, I mean, do you think Mark Zuckerberg is going to be prosecuted because he didn't claim all of his fringe benefits?
Do we think Jeff Bezos? Out of control, and they never brought in. This prosecutor will not suffer anything because of his acts. Leo says, does this mean it's okay to buy Jell-O pudding cups again? As a practical matter,
Leo,
I don't think anybody thinks that
we're still, you're not woke, Leo. You haven't read your woke handbook.
I don't think that Bill Cosby comes across as anything but a horrible human being. And I got to meet Bill Cosby up in Central City, and I thought he's the biggest jerk I've ever met. And he hasn't, because he's released from jail, doesn't make him any less of a jerk. He's not been found to be innocent. He's not been found.
None of this happened, right?
It's just an out of control legal system that doesn't expect the rules when it comes to publicity, high publicity trials.
Well, it's not even high publicity trials. You have to be on the right side of the high publicity trial, yeah, right? True. I mean, you've got, again, there was a time, well, you're the lawyer, so maybe not always, but at least in my observation of covering decades of court cases, there was a time at least where it seemed like people played by the rule. I'm going to give an example, or at least say that I can, this is going to be a judge who sort of bent the rule. So many years ago, there was a case in Adams County. It was a murder case. A man was accused of murdering his wife. And there was a 800-year-old at the time, crotchety Adams County judge. And interestingly, the man's two previous wives had also been murdered by him. And I think he'd actually, and they weren't first degree murder convictions, but he'd done time for that, right? So this is in the jury selection portion of the trial before it starts. And the judge kind of drags all of the reporters and the prosecutors and the defense mm-hmm. attorney into his chambers to talk about some of the rules. And that was at that time pretty typical. And the judge then says, now, I don't want to hear anybody in any news stories talking mm-hmm. about these two other wives that the guy murdered. Mm-hmm. And so I foolishly raised my hand. I'm like, well, Your Honor, that's prior restraint and that's public record. And, you know, it certainly is an interesting fact. And the judge said, yes, but it would not be admitted at this trial. Right. Mm-hmm. It clearly maybe common sense tells you it's pertinent, but we don't have any evidence linking the cases. Mm-hmm. So we can't talk about it at trial. If it can't be mentioned at trial, I don't want you twerpy reporters mentioning it in your news reports. So once again, I raise my hand and I say, well, Your Honor, I cannot be responsible for our entire newsroom. And I'll never forget, the judge looked at me and he goes, Ms. Hayden, he says, let me put it this way. He says, if I see that information in your report, and this is a direct quote, your ass is grass. And so I went back to the newsroom and said, everyone, my ass is grass. If any of you put this, So here's the thing. I mean, the judge there wasn't going woke. Now, granted, we could argue about his dealing of the media, but again, the rule of law is the rule of law. And I would argue, as flawed and as screwed up as it is still the best we have.
Well, and I must admit, I do blame this court for not addressing the issue of, by the second trial, deciding you'll violate all the prior rules and the court allowing it. They should have addressed it. Of course, they only had a 4-3 majority on the whole thing. So three were happy for a prosecutor to lie and people to rely on it. So maybe, but it is, you know, it should be a hard and fast rule. They just cannot bring in prior acts to try you for this one and say, well, now you got to fight these, and you don't really give an opportunity to.
Well, and it becomes a whole mess when you've got, again, the original prosecutor said, I'm not going to charge you. And the current prosecutor then said, hey, but we're woke now. We weren't woke before. I've got, you know, actresses tweeting at me saying I need to do this and I need to do that. And my God, I've got, you know, late night comedian hosts are telling me what to do. And holy cow, look at Joy Reid on MSNBC. What's she going to say? And it's a tragedy to me because that's how decisions are made. Now, of course, we could also point out they're only made one way, right? If you happen to be a Trump supporter, if you happen to be a conservative, of course, you know, that would never actually go your way. No. In fact, they would throw the book at you even when there is nothing to throw at you.
Which they're doing, the poor CFO of Trump organization.
Right. And I mean, all kinds of, I mean, you know, you got Roger Stone, you've got Michael Flynn, you've got, you know, Papadopoulos, you've got all of these people who, you know, had nothing. There was nothing and they destroyed their lives anyway. The prosecutors did. And Chuck, I think it does go to something you've talked a lot about in this country. These prosecutors have a huge amount of power to really literally destroy people's lives,
yes,
right?
Too, yeah.
And in a case like this, I'm sure if you're Andrea Constant, she's devastated today, right? I mean, like I said, what does this say to you if you're a woman who came forward in all of this it's thrown out? It's bad for her. It's bad for Bill Cosby.
Well,
I mean,
bad for her. I mean, you know, you agree to do a civil trial, you get $3.5 million, which is not inconsiderable even today. And she just doesn't get another pound of flesh, and that, you know, he served 3 years. Feeling terrible, you know, she could kind of go, his sentence was 3-10. So he almost served three. I mean, if she wants to feel terrible, she can feel terrible.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, and it's a personal choice on how she handles it. But I think, though, that if you are someone who has been, and this happens, we all know this, somehow assaulted or abused by somebody who has more power than you. It takes a lot. And I'm just going to say this. I know you sometimes disagree with me on this.
I don't disagree.
Let me finish.
I grew up in prep schools.
Oh, okay. Good point. Good point.
What do you think was done there?
Takes a lot of courage to come forward. And so to come forward and then have the case, the man released from jail and back in a mansion eating dinner and drinking wine tonight. Right. I mean, I can see where that would be devastating. But I go back again to the prosecutor. I wish that there was a way. And this is where I really think the reform can be made. If we can hold cops accountable, if we can pass laws that say police officers can be held liable for certain actions, there's no prosecutorial immunity. I don't know why we can't do the same for prosecutors.
They tried to do that this time in the Colorado legislature. I don't think it passed.
No, the legislature. This is from Charlene. Bill Cosby's crimes are nothing compared to Clinton's and Weinstein's. You're right. Or Epstein. I doubt if we can ever find out where they are. Clinton's a free man carrying on. Weinstein, I think, is still in jail. But on this outrage, the outrage is more selective justice. And Sandra says, yep, and they're still going after the January 6th protest. Yeah, and leaving
that's
Antifa.
Awful.
Exactly. It is. It's all BS. And I think that's what happens when, and there's a bigger, I think, societal thing going on, and that is wokeness is deciding and determining everything.
It's been going for a long time. I always thought it was unbelievably atrocious that people were thrown in jail on testimony of kids whose testimony had been coerced out of them and believed the children. And eventually most of them got out, but some died in prison on testimony that spacemen came down and every other one that you would think would be absolutely ludicrous. But, the judges allowed it. Sure, go ahead. Throw them in jail for the rest of their lives. Almost never was it shown that actually any crimes occurred or any sexual abuse occurred. But around the country, they decided they would indict all these.
Well, and that was another pendulum swing too, right? Because it went from never believe the children to always believe the children. Yeah. And again, I think we're just seeing horrible extremes of this happening in our country. And as Sandra says, particularly if you happen to be a Trump supporter or a conservative, would you trust the court system? No, if the FBI said, here, come on in, you want to talk to you about this.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No, you should absolutely not do that. So we'll see how this plays out. Well, I'm sure they'll all move on, right? But everybody in the meantime, their heads are going to explode. And thank goodness, and I appreciate that attorney on Fox News who was sort of being honest, saying, hey, look, this was problematic. I knew this was problematic. Any attorney who wasn't afraid of the woke crowd could have told you that this was problematic. And so, and this is what we get again when not, and the rule of law is imperfect as it is. Like she says, it's what the Constitution, it's what it's based on.
Well, they used to, before the left really took it over, it'd be a lot more of a system where you're at least repulsed by some of the trials in the South against blacks and other ones. I mean, it's just a different version of this hate wokeness, and it's pathetic.
And the other thing that's totally unfair is you could have had another Supreme Court that would have totally upheld this. Right. I mean, that would have said, oh, no, we are more woke. I mean, this Pennsylvania court, they're going to be hammered. Right. Mm-hmm. And going to be, run through the social media cancel culture war. Their spouses are probably going to be targeted. It could have very easily. Again, there's nothing you can count on. There's no real rhyme and reason. It just depends on what judge you happen to get before and how woke they happen to be. Because couldn't you easily see another court saying, well, yeah, of course, the law doesn't allow that, but Bill Cosby's really bad. We all know that.
Well, three of the judges did. I mean, it's a 4-3 decision. So just by one single judge's vote, and it was a concurring opinion, was he freed. So,
what do you think? 888-627-6008.
Which does not mean I feel sorry for Bill Cosby.
No.
Because he's not somebody you should feel sorry for. He's kind of a despicable human being, but that doesn't mean we have to destroy every legal norm.
Well, and I'm going to go back to You know, again, this was, at least according to Beth, the woman that we talked to, and we're actually trying to get her for the show too. And if we do, we'll get her on maybe Friday. This was sort of an open secret that this kind of thing was going on. The only people who were unaware of it were the girls. A lot of other people in power were, you know, were sending these. Now, why, you know, if you're the head of the modeling agency, you're pretty sure, you're like, Bill Cosby actually hasn't mentored any young models into any kind of acting career, but he seems to go through a lot of them and they never want to see him again. I mean, to me, it also goes back to, as a society, we have some sort of responsibility. And I guess maybe that's one thing to say, hey, wait a minute. No, you know, I'm not going to do that. To have somebody call Bill Cosby out and you know, to make it so it doesn't have to be way past a statute of limitations that women finally feel like they're able to come forward. I mean, there's so many people, I think, who could be at fault here. But again,
well, throughout your life, you've had instances where somebody wants to do some incredible kindness to you that does not seem to be any benefit to them. And almost all those times in my life, I've gone, wait a minute, this is, something's really wrong here. And I better watch out because this isn't right. And it inevitably is. And so, oh, this older wants to mentor you. This older middle-aged guy wants to mentor an 18-year-old. They actually don't want to mentor 18-year-olds. They don't want to start them on careers. They don't want to make them famous unless they get a slice of the proceeds. People are driven by reasons of they gain something. And if you go out to Bill Cosby's motel room at 12 o'clock at night because he's going to be your mentor, you better get a better IQ test, or at least get a good lawyer to sue Bill Cosby and collect afterwards.
Well, and Sandra points this out. Look what they gave Derek Chauvin, the police officer in the George Floyd case, 22 years. You know, was he wrong in holding down George Floyd, a hardcore criminal? Yes, but really 22 years.
And now they're trying him in federal court for the same crime.
Right. And this is from Leo. Leo, we're going to put you on the parole board. Would have been easier if they had just given Cosby a work release job at a certain Florida condo. Okay, that's now we're going to be fired off of Twitter for laughing at that, but that's kind of funny.
That's pretty funny.
Well, want to switch gears a little bit too. Something else, we wanted to get to this last show and we didn't have time. We haven't done much with the whole critical race theory stuff going on because it takes a whole show and it's complicated. But want to let you know is we've been talking about this LEAP ballot initiative that people, I think the Democrats are trying to con conservatives into supporting.
The left wing of the Republican Party and the Democrats who con the usual dumb suspects us into supporting another massive government boondoggle controlled totally by the Democrats. The governor, with the consent of the Senate, appoints everyone. What do you think he's going to
appoint? And what this group will do, keep it's not a voucher, but what this group will do is this government appointed by Polis group, they're going to tax marijuana, so it's going to be a sin tax, and they will help decide if your kid needs help after school, kind of, you know, outside of school.
This will include ability to give money to Planned Parenthood.
Right, mental health, social. Stuff.
It'll just be a pot for the Democrats to control and give to all their supporters.
And if you happen to be a middle-class kid, by the way, you're not eligible for this. You have to be minority or low income. And not only that, you, the parent, don't get to decide whether your kid needs this or doesn't need this. They decide this. They're not clear how they're going to decide. And not only do they decide what they get. It's not like you can be like, well, I don't think my kid needs mental health coaching, but he could use some help with Common Core multiplication. We got to do that. But in researching that, and I want to give credit to Joy Overbeck, who is very active in the Republican Party, and the folks down in Douglas County are really fighting the good fight against the teachers union and this whole critical race theory there. Because what they do, guys, is they don't call it critical race Marxist training theory, right? They call it stuff like equity training and things like that. Well, who would be opposed to equity training? Equity is good, right? But then you listen to somebody basically leaked a training video put on by somebody here in Denver called the Gemini Project. And it's a project that goes around and basically teaches schools how racist they are. And then you pay this group $37,000. They'll explain to you over Zoom that you're completely racist and you need to address that. And the parents in Douglas County are going like, what? wait, what? We don't want this. So the school board has been forced to back off a little bit. But somebody leaked some of the video from this Gemini Project training that they did to some 900 Douglas County teachers and staff members, right? Now, if you said, well, we're going to give a training on equity, that'd be like, okay, I guess we want kids' things to be equal. You would think they would mean maybe like, I don't know, equal access to sports, equal access to whatever, right? That's not what they're talking about at all. Thomas, if we could play the Doug Coe training number one, this is what they're talking about.
And microaggressions are nothing more than those verbal and nonverbal engagements that are insults or they're offensive, right? They don't mean to be harmful, but they are harmful, right? They're targeted towards individuals with marginalized identities, right? Microaggressions are founded in race, right? Because they started when people were studying the way white people were treating black people on Harvard's campus. Right? But it has since grown and expanded. It covers all marginalized identities. And not a day goes by when somebody with a marginalized identity doesn't have the potential to be the recipient of a microaggression.
I'm the recipient of a microaggression.
Don't try to share your intentions.
I'm constantly. I mean, what on earth? What the freak is she talking about? This is what they're teaching our kids. Kids, you may have said to Bill, hey, you know, don't cut in line in front of me. And Bill may say, oh, that was a microaggression. Now, maybe you didn't realize that was a microaggression. And because it was a microaggression, it's racist, Ben. Why? Because I'm marginalized. Why not say you're empowered? Why are we telling all these kids, oh, you're marginalized, therefore, no matter what happens, you know,
anything that you can just slightly take offense at is a microaggression.
I mean, who even invented? And of course, they studied this on Harvard. So, do we think if there's one chance in a million that in Harvard they were going to be like, you know, actually, from what we see, a lot of the white people treat the black people fairly here, right? In fact, they go out of their way to be nice to them. Will they say that? No, they're saying even by being nice, you're committing
that
a microaggression.
It's
just a circular logic. So they get paid more money, and it doesn't even matter if you're sorry. Doesn't even matter if you're like, I didn't realize I was committing a microaggression. Let's play train. Now, again, this is training video that they're showing some 900 teachers and staff in Douglas County so they can then turn around and teach this to our children. If we could play training video number two, please.
But the institutions and the systems are also biased. We have institutional and systemic racism. They exist just based on the way that the institutions and systems were created and who created them. So it's our role to figure out how to change them.
What does that mean? I mean, does anyone even...
Policies, practices, procedures, programs. We have to look at all of those things, even policies that are facially neutral, right? We're not living in the 17, 1800s where we put the word race in the document, right? We're living in a time where we don't have the racial terms in our documents, yet we still have inequitable outcomes for people of color. That is because even when those documents don't say the race on the document, they still, in implementation, have the same impacts based on race.
It's like, what? What is even, number one,
that means if somebody doesn't do well in math, they go, math. And they have in Oregon and Washington said math is racist because it demands a certain
correct answer.
That's a microaggression.
Well, here's the other thing too is number one, I would say if they're playing, paying those people $37,000 for that presentation, they need their money back. Number one, they could have at least, I don't know, had a slideshow. But that's a kind of nonsense though, that they're teaching the kids. They're teaching the teachers to teach the kids. Right. And I may, and again, go back to, if you're a teacher and you want to raise your hand and say, because what they're saying there is the institution is systemically racist just because it is. Now, we don't have to show you evidence of it. We don't. It just is by its. It's
unequal
even,
outcomes always means racism.
Right.
As long as it involves whites. Now, the mere fact that there's only a very small percentage of white players in the NBA, that's okay. That, you know, that's fine. But the fact that there's more white baseball players than black players in baseball is indicating of systematic racism. going back to the 19th century.
Well, and then you look at what ESPN is doing. But there was a new basketball coach who is African American, and some stupid ESPN person is going, "Oh, it's the first African American coach." It's like, no, he's not. You got Bill Russell. I mean, you start going down the list, but it doesn't care, right? Because that's systemic. I'm committing a microaggression to teach them. This is the nonsense that they want to teach our kids, and this is the kind of stuff that this LEAP initiative would be shoving down the throats of our kids. Yes. And you as a parent have no say over it.
Right.
And that's why we have to defeat this. But again, I think we're going to be doing more on this because it is astonishing. Those parents who say things like, you know, "I thought we were supposed to tell kids that the color of their skin didn't matter." Oh. That has completely switched under these progressive Democrats. Now they're telling them that the color of your skin is all that matters. And if you're white, even in the original sin under Adam and Eve, right, you had an out. You could accept God as your savior and you were forgiven. But in here, there is no forgiveness. There is nothing you can do except constantly apologize, constantly give reparations. And if you try to challenge it, well, then you're a domestic terrorist and you have to be silenced.
Yeah, well, you might have been at the Capitol January 6th, and so the FBI is going to hunt you down, even if you were just at a peaceful part of the rally. You weren't part of the Antifa crew that went into the Capitol. You really wonder how this is working. I mean, Joe Biden's numbers are as high as they've ever been. They're never that high. It's going to be interesting. This is a real reaction. And now this is wonderful. Jen Psaki said defund the police is a Republican initiative.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't care if they lie.
They don't care at all.
Oh, yeah. We heard all these Republicans saying defund the police. They don't care. They'll repeat it.
That's the first black coach in the NBA. No, it's not. Yeah. No, it's not. You know, it's the first all black team to go to the Olympics. No, it's not. It's like, but they don't care. And everyone cheers them on. And then they fact check us, right? I was saying, some guy, Facebook has gone out of control. It's a friend of mine who's a photographer. And he had posted a story on the Facebook page about a bear. And it was a wacky little story about a bear going into the house, right? And Facebook took it down, saying their fact checkers determined that it was not true. But I mean, it was true. It was a videotape of the bear. So they're going after anything and everything that they don't like. They don't care who gets caught up in their algorithms. But again, this is all, there is, a strategy to all of this, I believe. And it all ties in together. And it's all going to come down to, you are racist, and therefore it's hate speech for you to go ahead and say that I don't want my kid to be taught this, critical race theory stuff. I don't want my kid to go into your mental health coaching. All of a sudden, that's hate speech. That's a hate crime. And they're going to be able to go after you. And you're going to have the FBI knocking on your door. And we all know that always ends up well.
We found out who's promoting this through the Conroe GOP Executive Committee.
Oh, yeah. A shocker.
A shocker. Well, sure.
Christy Burton Brown.
Christy Burton Brown was for it. Senator Lundeen was for it. He's one of the backers. I assume Lois Landgraf is. But there are other people, Dave Williams, Priscilla, Ron. They just said,
and you.
And me. And
we're saying, what the heck?
Casper Stockholm. And we're saying, we're only getting one side of the story. You'd never have a trial. You only present, the prosecution, but never the defense when that was happening. So by a 9-8 vote, we did not approve it, but we're going to have a Zoom meeting on the 18th at 6 o'clock at night. So you want to contact, if you're a Republican, you want to contact your executive committee member.
Yeah. Is that going to be public? Do we know? No. I'm going to be Joe Biden. I will leak it to you all.
I won't be able to.
I will, because I can work the computer Zoom meeting better than Chuck.
Don't say that. I'll be
calling. All right. Okay. Chuck is going to I'm not going to be censored.
No.
Well, I think we can certainly report the results.
Yes.
Right. The results and who was for it. I mean, I think if you're a Republican, to me, this is a no brainer. At the very least, you should be neutral on this. The Colorado Republican Party should not throw its weight behind it. And more than that, the Colorado Republican Party needs to start standing up and help these parents who are trying to fight this kind of stuff, because it's hard. They call it fancy schmancy things, right? Even this LEAP initiative, to read the first you know, two pages, it sounds like a great idea. It's not till you actually get into
it. The 25th page.
Yeah, the 25th page, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what are they doing? And, you know, and again, in the, I mean, the teachers' unions, and they're all pushing it too. And what do? You've got a great teacher, your kid likes your teacher, and you don't know until they come home with this stuff that this is what they're being taught. And how do you as a parent, I mean, it's we need to stop it, I guess, is where I'm going with this. And as I mentioned before, I think this is a huge opportunity for the Republican Party, because there are a lot of angry parents out there who, it's whatever their political affiliation, their whole thought is, you know, I want my kid to be taught that race does not matter. I don't want my kindergartner being told that they're racist and there's nothing they can do about it, and they're bad and there's nothing they can ever do about it, and they must constantly apologize, if they haven't done something wrong, because that's still a microaggression.
And what do you think that's going to do to that kid? Some of them, that's going to make him real racist.
Well, it is. And on top of that, then what kind of stuff? I mean, for years, we've been going through schools. If you ever was watching something the other day, the swimming pool, little girl was like on the high dive and she was going to jump off. And all these other little girls are going, you can do this. You can do this. You got it. Well, now they'd be saying, hey, you're marginalized. I'm sorry. You're marginalized. You need to get yourself a shorter diving board because you're marginalized. And if you don't get a shorter, you know, diving board, they're going
to sue.
You should sue. And we're going to close a pool down. And none of us can jump off the diving board because it's not equitable. And that's kind of a joke, but it's really not kind of a joke, which is where we're going anymore, you know? But why not teach the kids, hey, you can do it. You can do it. Leo's like, I'm just going to curl up in a ball in my shower till party Friday. No, Leo, don't. What we could talk about, oh, we could talk about something, two other fun things going on. Also coming soon to a city near you, in Denver, starting tomorrow, your executive editor at the newspaper has been like hoarding plastic bags because we use them for garbage and things like that, right? No more plastic bags in Denver. You have to pay 10 cents for a plastic bag anywhere, right? If you go to a store, if you go to the grocery store, you have to bring your own, even though we learned during COVID that they are the most germy things, right? The reusable
Denver's
bags.
Denver's going to be such a great place.
Well, and the mayor, this is kind of fun too. The mayor's coming under fire for cleaning up the homeless camps. With the Major League Baseball All-Star game coming, this Candy C. DeBaca. I like Candy C. DeBaca for calling out the mayor and saying, well, we've had more homeless sweeps like in the last week than we've had in the past 20 years. Right. That's an exaggeration.
Well, probably true.
And the mayor's like, I don't even ask me about it. That's some other department that handles that. So, but the bag fee though is going in Denver. I predict it will come to a suburb near you too. Soon. I mean, and it's one of those woke things they do that in the end makes almost no difference, right? Makes almost no difference to the environment or global warming or global cooling or whatever it is they're calling it these days. Your gas prices are certainly not going to go down because all of a sudden we've gotten rid of plastic bags. All it does is make things like a headache for us, right? And make us carry around those germy reusable bags, and a headache for the stores. You know, if you're a store.
Here's one. My phone, maybe that's
Charlene.
On a brighter note, MTG, Marjorie Greene, is a speaker at El Paso County Lincoln Day Dinner. Dave William rocks. Well, you'll be happy to know that Julie and I, yesterday, I went online and purchased.
Yeah, you can get tickets.
Mm-hmm. They're only $100. Marjorie Taylor Greene, come on. And help out the base of the party, help out, because they're all the establishment ones are going, oh, no.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, oh my God.
No. Well, me too.
Did you, okay, good. Everybody goes, we'll see you there. Yeah. Maybe we'll have a party Friday pre-party at the meeting.
Yeah,
no,
I think
it's good to go, and what we talked about it, to show your support, because, you know, with her and Lower and Boebert, all they do is attack them, the mainstream media. They attack them. And Republicans, because they're not part of the Uniparty, are afraid, you know, to stand up for them.
Go on El Paso GOP event, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You can get your ticket. You can get a picture of her for another $30 with her. So that's good.
Oh, a selfie kind of thing. A selfie kind of thing.
A selfie. You know, somebody will take a snapshot.
I'm kidding. And then other thing too, now this will probably get us banned from YouTube, but wanted to talk about the only other thing. Well, and again, let me just say, hey, anybody on Zoom, feel free to open up the mic because we're kind of hitting a lot of topics today. Love to hear what you think. Or if you want to call 888-627-6008, the election in New York. So they finally suddenly figured out, oh, wait, 135,000 ballots. Oh, oops, our bad. Those ballots were actually, but they were like practice ballots.
Test ballots. Make sure the system's working.
All of them for, I don't know who they were. I mean, why did, yeah, they were test ballots. Like, oops, our bad. Oops. Shouldn't have counted those.
Oops, we shouldn't have counted that. Because that was when Adams, the person who had won the first round or whatever, said, wait a minute, why are there now another 100,000 plus votes? And so I said, oh, we're a slower.
There were more, there's 135,000 more votes than voters.
Yeah, huh, that's strange. Oh, yeah, we left all those other ballots in from the Trump election. Oh,
and coincidentally, he was the guy who was for, he's for law and order, right? Mm-hmm. And his lead went like, magically went down. Right. So coincidentally, those 135,000 ballots that were, miscounted. Oops. They were just the test ballots. Were all for the other guy. I don't know if all for the other guy, but they were for, they swung the thing. And so you look at, I'm just going to say, you look at the number of votes in the presidential race, and you just cannot convince me that audits are not a good idea. And I don't care if YouTube doesn't like that.
Well, that's another one to be woke. You know, the absentee ballots, at least in Colorado for the time being, have to be there by the time that the polls close. But, you know, liberals want to expand everything because they think they can.
Now, why would they need to have them there after the polls close?
Well, they have to. Now they can be in New York. Anyway. They can be there up to June 29th. And so to June 29th. So you never know. I mean, this will take weeks. Ranked voting is another liberal garbage one that Colorado.
Oh, well, yeah. And that's worked out really well in New York. Andrew Yang was kind of tweeting, boy, isn't ranked voting great? Why don't you explain what that is? Because they want to, well, they are vote, doing it you, here you, in some
you,
places.
They are. I think they're going to do nonpartisan races. You only not indicate who you like best, but who you like second and third and how many ways down. And then so you get the first votes and then you see what happens. Who gets the most second votes? Who gets the most third votes? And you keep on adjusting and adjusting and adjusting. They do this in Australia. And so you don't get results often for a month in Australian elections. But, you know, anything to screw the system up, anything that's just not paper ballots, you go, you fill out your thing, you put it in the box, you take the box out and they count it.
I mean, that just seems fairly straightforward to me.
Well, you know, in Britain, they can count all the paper ballots. But
We used to be able to count them all really quickly because I would sit there at election headquarters, mm-hmm. right? And they would, you know, they would count them. And everybody voted on that day. They counted them on that day and it all came in. There would be some absentee ballots, but those were for people who were absentee. They couldn't vote. They couldn't be there.
And they had to have them in by the time the polls closed. They couldn't just send them a week later. Oh, the election's over, but whoa.
We need to get a few more votes here. Well, so it is kind of funny watching this in New York City. You know, and again, the ranked voting hasn't worked real well there because, I think there would be a really big question in terms of, well, that's what Adams noted. He's like, wait a minute, all of a sudden we have an extra 135,000. And how could we, like, that was a test? So here's my question. So if they want to test the ballot systems and the ballot counting systems, I think that's a good idea. I think they should. Why not then audit them to make sure that your tests are correct? I mean, I know that seems like a bizarre idea, but it seems to me that that should be something that's routinely done. We audit everything all the time anyway, right? Why would you not want to automatically audit some things just to make sure? Maybe it shows they're great. Probably in many cases it would show they're great. But again, in New York, it doesn't seem to be working that well. What's your prediction on who's going to win that?
I don't know. I mean,
If a vote were fair, who would win?
Oh, Adams. Of the 438 times that I can find in which there's ranked voting, only I think in 11 did it make a difference. Did it change who the winner was?
Oh, really?
And with a 10-point, these are usually ones where people have a 2 or 3 point lead and it gets upset. So the 10-point lead, in theory anyway, the ranked voting shouldn't change it. But that doesn't make any. You think the progressives in New York care what it should be and stuff? No, they'll figure out some way to crook it, and they always do. So I don't know if Adams will win or not, but certainly based on ranked voting elsewhere, that big a lead is almost never upset.
Now let me ask you this, just to play the devil's advocate on this, because I could kind of see the thinking that okay, so if we say you have to win by this much, right, and you don't win by that much. Do we really want to go to all of the trouble to have a whole other election and the expense and things like that? Is that the thinking behind the ranked voting? Okay, well, explain the thinking then.
Thank you. You can, you know, President of the United States is not elected based on 50%. You just have to get a majority, a plurality of the votes. The reason they want to do this is because they think they don't like how certain elections are turning out, and they think they can rig it or change it to their benefit. So if you have, let's say, a strong conservative, people go, oh, I don't, you know, he's my fifth choice. So strong conservatives will do less well. And so you'll get a more moderate person because it'll appeal to more people because he would have been their second or third choice.
Now, let me ask you this. In the city and county of Denver, they have runoff elections fairly frequently for city council elections and mayoral elections, and right?
That's because that's what they chose to do.
Well, but I mean, they seem that seems to work. Right. I mean, it makes it more complicated and, you know, a lot of electioneering and I think deal making goes on. But it's not as if.
Well, that's another. There are lots of systems that say you have to get the majority of the votes and the two top vote getters will run off against each other. That's right. Done in a lot of states. Having ranked voting is just it's always been a bad idea. It's never really worked particularly well. But it's always, hey, let's not just have a regular election. You vote, you tally, whoever has the most points wins.
Sort of, yeah, exactly.
We had people coming on the show, and you probably don't remember, but saying, we need ranked voting. We go, get off the
show. Chuck. Sort of like when the Democrats say, we don't need the Electoral College. And they say, and Republicans agree with us too. It's like, no, we don't. We need the Electoral College. Hey, listen, we're going to cut. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Okay. We can want to remind everybody, because sometimes we're on YouTube and sometimes we're not. Here's the deal with YouTube. We've had two community strikes for misinformation. If we get another one, and I suspect we could get another one on this show because we talked about it. There wasn't any misinformation.
Misinformation, we said the governor said you didn't have to wear masks at children at camps.
The way I believe.
So they got that and they said camps, children, masks. You're suspended. And Julie wrote to them saying, well, wait a minute, we just repeated what the governor said. They go, denied.
They denied it before they even listened to it. So it's based on an algorithm. So in the meantime, though, we are up on YouTube, but I'd like to encourage everybody. We're also on Podbean and we're also on Rumble. So if you go to YouTube and you don't find us there, and you can always get us at BBS too. That's just as easy as anything. Just bbsradio.com. And then you just go to the Chuck and Julie page and they have archives of all of our shows. But I just want to give you a heads up because I get sometimes emails and questions from people saying, hey, how come you're not on YouTube? And it's like, it's not our choice. But again, YouTube has made it. And I apologize kind of for being on a soapbox about this, but they're doing it to everybody. Do you see that? Andy, no, Spotify has taken him off. This is going to get worse. I think particularly as we head into the midterms, the big tech companies, there was a World Global Forum where they all talked about that, the need to eliminate unauthorized sources of information on social media. Well, unauthorized is anybody who's not giving their party line, right? So if you don't find us on YouTube, again, go to chuckandjulie.com because we got it there, or just go to bbsradio.com. And it's not that I'm slacking off.
Get Julie working harder.
That's right. I'm hitting the golf course there. In the meantime, though, the guys at BBS Radio, again,
are all back in the free tech state of Texas. And so they may be hotter, but they're freer.
That's right. And they promised to never censor stuff. So we're going to stick with them. Sandra's like, no, it's based on stupidity. That's a good point. I want to thank everybody. We will see you on Party Friday. We're going to have Ted Harvey on too.
Ted Harvey, which will be great. And Leo, you don't have to be in the curl up position till Friday.
You can uncurl for a little while. Make it party Wednesday afternoon. Hey, everybody, have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Friday.
Take care.